And now as we continue with our study in the life of David, I want to read to you some verses from 2 Samuel chapter 18. This is quite a lengthy chapter, 33 verses in the chapter, so I do not propose that I shall read the whole chapter to you, but I trust you'll get time at home to sit down, read it quietly and carefully, and find the truth and apply the lesson. I'll read a few verses. 2 Samuel chapter 18. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and the third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succour us out of the city. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you best I will do. The king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men, for the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. Now at verse 14 it says, And Joab took 3 darts in his hand, and thrust them through the heart of Absalom, while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Now if you continue to read down the chapter, you'll discover that there were those who came to bear tidings to David. And when David received the tidings, now right at the last verse of the chapter, and the king was much moved, went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. As he went thus, he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, again we approach thy holy presence, coming to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the solemn issues that are portrayed to us in this chapter from which we have been reading. We ask thee now to impress these solemn things upon all our hearts. May it be that we'll think of them seriously in the light of thy holiness. Grant, O God, that they may bring some measure of blessing to each of us, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in reading this chapter, and thinking a little of the history that's recorded here, you would almost ask yourself the question, what is it that God is telling us? Now, wouldn't it have been possible, perhaps, just to have left this chapter out, not to have told us these solemn things? Yes, perhaps it could have been. But then, we must realize this, that when God is giving us the record, and God by the Holy Spirit moved these holy men of old to write these things, God knew why he was telling us these things. After all, there must be some reason for it. And as you pause on a chapter like this, and you try to picture in your mind the age, the character, the health of David at this point, and then you try on the other side to fathom what was wrong with his son Absalom, and then you see the men who were the captains of David's army, there seems to be a tremendous amount of intrigue. You might call it in these days political intrigue, or you might call it military maneuvering. On the other hand, you can see that there's a satanic influence at work here. When you try to see the picture of Absalom, we have mentioned already in previous studies, Absalom seemed to be David's favorite son. You hardly know why, because Absalom was a man who seemed to go against his father at every turn, but it seemed he was a good-looking fellow, and he wasn't without some measure of intelligence. He was a go-getter. He was a chancer. He wanted position, and at this point he had got it. He was the one who led the rebellion against his father. He was the one who had chased his father from Zion. His father had to leave the king's house and the throne and was out on the hillside, went right down and over Jordan. And then his son Absalom, this rebellious son, was ready to go to war with his father and with his father's forces. Now, it's at this point that we are introduced to chapter 18. They're getting ready for the showdown. The battle is about to be fought. And it's at this point where David numbered the people that were with him. There was quite a crowd of them, for he set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. So quite a number of the people had showed their allegiance to David. David divided up his army into three distinct sections, and he put three of his commanders in charge of them. It was a great military strategy. Oh, there would be those that would take the central part, and then he would have those on either side, the flanks. And so therefore David was a strategist when it came to military maneuvering. And so he gives instruction to his men. David himself is willing to go out and lead them, although at this time he's a fairly old man. And he's willing to go and show true leadership. For you will remember now we pointed out that at the time when he should have been out with his men, and he stayed at home, that was what led to his fearful fall. I suggest David has learned his lesson. David now in the midst of this difficulty is waiting and is willing to go with his men. He says, I will surely go forth with you myself also. At that point, the men begged him and suggested to him that because of his worth and because of who he was, there was no use him taking the risk of going out and being killed in battle. Now then, all this leads up to one thing, and it's this particular point that we take almost as our first lesson from this chapter. If he's not going out with them, then he gives instruction to his three commanders. He speaks to them, those captains of his people, and he gives to them a command. He tells them now, he said, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. Now remember this. Absalom was a man who was leading the rebellion against David. It was Absalom who was the rebellious son. It was Absalom who stole the hearts of the people. It was Absalom who was opposing his father. And yet, I want you to notice the love that David had for his son Absalom. In spite of all that Absalom had done against his father, in spite of the rebellious nature of this son, David said when they're going out to the battle, whatever you do, for my sake, will you deal gently with the young man, Absalom? Now, that's difficult to understand from one point of view, and yet it's beautiful from another angle. Now, I know as you read down through the chapter, you discover this, that his three captains, Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, they did not appreciate David's attitude towards Absalom. After all, they were going out to battle, and if they could get Absalom and destroy him, then the rest of the men would surrender, for it was Absalom who was the leader. And now David, in effect, says, whatever else you do, deal gently with Absalom. See, as it were, that nothing happens to Absalom. Now, you can understand that David still wants to be a loving father towards a son, even if that son was a rebellious son. Now, may I suggest that only those who have been in such circumstances can understand fully why David was moved like this. But then the question arises, was David making a mistake here? After all, he had already made a mistake in that he brought Absalom back when he had wronged his father to begin with. When he was in disgrace, his father had brought him back, but not on a righteous basis. And we remarked at that time, when dealing with that, that there can only be a proper reconciliation if it is based on righteousness. But David, as it were, at that time made the mistake in bringing back his son, who was the rebellious son, and not bringing him back righteously. He didn't deal with his sin. Now then, here at this time was he making a similar mistake. In plain words, was David being moved by what you may call natural emotion? Was he being moved because of natural ties? Was he being moved because of his natural love for his son who had been in rebellion, this son Absalom? Now, it's true, and we said again and again, Absalom was a nice-looking fellow, beautiful, well-respected by some, but then, behind all his outward beauty, there was a wicked heart. He had wronged his father, he had wronged his nation, he had caused untold trouble. Yet his father's heart goes out towards his son, and he says, I want you to deal gently with this young man Absalom for my sake. Now, on the other hand, while it seems true that David was wrong in asking them to do this, nevertheless, let me suggest that every one of us could be classified with Absalom, because when we come to the New Testament, we learn this, that we are all classified as being those who are in rebellion against God. We all stand guilty. We have all taken our stand against the principles of God. Yet isn't it true that just as David wanted to show kindness to Absalom, hasn't God shown kindness to us? Isn't it true that God has shown grace to us and has shown love to us, even when we were most unlovable? And what David did for Absalom is only a faint, faint picture of what God has done for us who were sinners, guilty sinners, in rebellion against God. But now, let us go a little further. When the battle was being pursued, that was the time when justice caught up with Absalom. Now you want to notice, first of all, that this battle was taken into a wood. Strange place to go to a battle. However, it was while he was driving through the wood on his mule, it's obvious he was fleeing. And as he was fleeing from the pursuing forces, his mule took him under an oak tree, and his head got caught up in the limbs of the tree. It's true that he had a beautiful head of hair. It could have been that his hair got entangled first, but it's obvious that the branch of the tree caught him round the neck some way or another. Here is a man who finishes his days suspended on the limb of a tree. You know what the Bible said? Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. He is a man, and it didn't take human hands to put him there. He wasn't hung by other men. It seemed to be that justice caught up with him, and here God is working behind the scenes. The man who had rebelled against his own father, who was God's anointed, the man who had split his own nation in two, the man who had caused the rebellion, justice laid hold upon him, and Absalom, in spite of all his cleverness, in spite of all his beauty, he's caught hanging on the limb of a tree. It was at that point where Joab, one of the commanders, one of the captains of the army, Joab rushed in. He took three darts in his hand, and he thrust them through the heart of Absalom. That's what he wanted to do from the very beginning. But remember, David had said, deal gently with the young man, Absalom. Joab wouldn't deal gently with him. Joab took the three darts and put them right through, and then they threw him into a pit and covered up his body with a heap of stones. Now, having seen the end of Absalom and justice catching up with him, now our mind goes back to David, for it's David we're thinking about. When you come to the latter part of this chapter, there are two men who are running. David is sitting in the gate, and the watchman is up on the watchtower above the gate, and he sees them coming. When they come, David is anxious, not so much to know how the battle has gone, he's anxious to know what has happened to his son. And when one of these men comes running, he says, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? Now will you note that? Is the young man Absalom safe? Don't trouble telling me how the battle has gone. Don't trouble telling me how it ended. All I want to know is, what about Absalom? Now, perhaps there are those listening to me at this time, and you have been anxious, perhaps over-anxious, about some of your own family. And time again, you'll be asking, what about the young man? Or it may be you're asking about your daughter. Now see, David, after all, is a loving father. And here we come to this part where we see the grief of this man, David. His heart is broken here. It may be the rebellion was broken, and God's hand came against those that were in rebellion, and they were overcome. But now we see David at the end of this chapter, a broken-hearted king. It's true there was a great triumph that day. It's true it was a mighty victory, and the Lord was with them, but that is not what is troubling this man's heart. After all, the chief rebel was his own son. And this is what the man said when he brought the news, and Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." You see how he tried to break the news in a gentle way, but nevertheless, it got home to the heart of David, and David the king was much moved. It got home to his heart. Grief laid hold upon him. He went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept. You know, it's an amazing thing. Some people think that it's only children who weep, or only soft people who weep. Well, here was David. And remember, David had been a mighty warrior. David was a man who knew something of the hardships of life. He knew what it meant to sleep out on the hillside all night. He knew what it meant to live in a cave for some time, being hunted by his enemies. David didn't always have it easy. David came up the hard way. He wasn't a soft man that way, but there's a softness about his heart. And he went and he wept. Do you know, it reminds me that when you come over to the New Testament, you read about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wept. He wept one day at the tomb of Lazarus. When he saw those who had been bereaved weeping, he wept with them. And as he sat one day and looked over the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, he wept there. He wept over the people who lived in Jerusalem, saying, "How often would I have gathered thee, as a hen doth gather a brood under her wings, but ye would not." And he wept. Again, the Bible reminds us that in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was there that he offered up his prayers with strong crying and tears. The Lord knew what it meant to weep, and he knows when we weep, and he knows why we weep. And here was David. David wept, strong man, broken down, broken hearted. And as he went up into the tower, up into the room, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh Absalom, my son. My son." Here is an expression of the love of a broken-hearted father for a rebellious son. My friend, when you read these things, whether you accuse David of being too soft or not, whether you think David was wrong in what he did, as it is related in this chapter, there's one thing must grip our hearts, and it's this, that David wished the very best for his family. He wished the best for his son, even for the rebellious son. He said he would rather have died for Absalom if it would have meant Absalom repenting and turning to God. You know, other people were the same. There was a time when Moses asked God to allow him to die instead of the rebellious nation. He was willing for God to bring judgment on him if only he would spare the people. David was willing here to have died in the place of his son. My friend, when I think of Calvary, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his love for us, he went all the way to Calvary's cross, and there he died for us. He died that we might be forgiven. He died that we might be reconciled to a holy God.